number one factor, the iniquity factor. Remember, I say iniquity, not sin. There is a difference between sin and iniquity. In my own definition, iniquity is when sin have a what? Stronghold. A stronghold in the medieval time is a place that is built in the midst of a city whereby 5 persons, 10 persons can hold off 10,000 or 1,000 armies that is outside. It is designed and built in such a way that it's hard for you to penetrate. When they patch on top of that place and rain stones or throw oil or whatever they have in those days, they can hold off. There's only one staircase to that place. By the time 5 people have killed hundreds, the army will beat a retreat and say, it's not worth taking. Let's leave it. That is a stronghold. Now, when Satan has built a stronghold in a generation, and you, by lack of knowledge, understanding, allow it to perpetuate down the generation, it becomes iniquity, because iniquity is a traveling sin. Sin that travels. It travels from generation to generation. It moves from A to B, B to C, C to D, until you sever the chain. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. When the ingrained spiritual and behavioral pattern, when the ingrained, you know what is ingrained? It's almost genetic. Ingrained, embedded, endemic. When it is ingrained in people, you see it going down the line. And I have seen so many in the life of my own people. I can tell you stories today that you will laugh and cry about. When the ingrained spiritual and behavioral pattern continue down the generation, when you go to doctors, they're what they call DNA. The DNA means, you know, in some cases, he just have the smile like his father. The hair color of his mother or whatever. The look of his great-grandfather. The strength of his great-grandfather just look like him. He's just like him in every just. That is the aspect of the physical, the natural DNA. And there's a link, the chromosome, as they call it, they link it and show that it goes down the generation. You will see a child that doesn't look exactly like the mother or father, but he looks like the great-grandfather to the T. That is the natural. Just as we have this in the natural, there is an ingrained spiritual DNA that can go down the generation, and it could be a curse, it could be a blessing. Unless that curse is broken, it will continue to translate down the line. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And you wonder why this is going on. As a young man, I noticed that I have serious migraine. When I mean migraine such that will tear my head apart practically. And I didn't know why or how or what is the cause. It happened that my great-grandfather is a very sinful man, a champion of the king. He goes to war. He's like 7 foot or 6 foot something, this thing. I know him as a young kid. And every time the moon sets, for whatever reason, it comes up right in my forehead like a little ball, like a tumor or something, like an egg right here. And that is just the same thing he has. They named him after him, me. He put his mark on me spiritually and physically. I am what in Igbo land, I don't know how to translate it to English. He said, Obo Mado, namesake. So when they call me, they are calling him. When they call him, they are calling me. And unknown to me, without being part of it, without being involved in any of his doing, this man is such an evil man. If I tell you the things he did, till today, this is from my mother's side. I don't know anything about my father's side. Till today in our time, when they want to sing song about great deeds, evil deeds, they link his name to it. And me, not being part of it, not knowing what is going on, inherited some of his causes. He had the same migraine. I have the same. Certain things about him were going on until one day, by the word of God, a student in Government Technical College explained to me a little of this. In those days, I have no place for doubt. I just believe. Well, if I go and confess and deny my great grandfather and have not associated myself with him and publicly renounce him and what he stands for, I'm released from this bondage. And to God's glory, thus I am delivered. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. This migraine, when it comes, it looks like you are using a knife, a sword, to cut my head into two. That is how intense it is. Until today, God delivered me. I'm not part of his sin, and I will not be part of his iniquity in Jesus' name. And that is your portion in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. A lot goes by what you believe. And I'm going to bring up some factors. So there is this spiritual DNA that link over the generation some of the things that has transpired along the way, and it keep going on down the line. There is what we call the original sin from Adam and Eve. This thing took our kinsman redeemer Jesus Christ to do what destroyed that yoke. Now know that there are certain things that is transferred through the bloodline. Bloodline. And by God's ordination, it is only by blood that that can be severed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. It is down the bloodline. And it's only by blood. And one person provided that blood through us. Now you may say, is there any point in any other scripture that there are so many scriptures backing this up? Even faith can go through generations. Blessings can go through generations. Open for me Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Your prayerfulness can go transfer to your generations. Your steadfastness can go down the generations. So also can the spiritual things. I just want to open that to you. When I call to remembrance, who is he talking to Timothy? The unfeigned faith that is in thee, in who, Timothy? Which dwelt first in who, everybody read me? Which dwelt first in thy grandmother, Lois. And then who? Thy mother, Eunice. And I am also persuaded that it is also in thee also. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The ingrained faith that is in the grandmother, which Paul the aged knows, maybe Timothy doesn't even know her. The same thing went down the bloodline to the who? To the mother, Louis, to the mother Eunice, and then even also in Timothy. And if you check Timothy lineage, if he has children, you will see that that faith will go down the line also. Blessed be the name of the Lord, as long as it's not broken. The same thing will happen in the spiritual. When certain cause have been there, when your great-grandfather did some mighty acts like my own called in those days, they did a mighty. Do you know some of the mighty acts he did? He kills people. He destroys people in the name of the king. He does atrocity. He sacrificed to human blood. And people are proud of him in my family, and I keep telling them, you guys are in the wrong path. Some of them one day decided to do something about it. They went and gathered together some native doctors to come and do purification in our compound. I wasn't there. My sister was telling me this. She wasn't there too. Another person was there, told me. And the demonic power that is so much in that compound was so strong, I'm not kidding you, the person that came to do the purification caught fire. Sister, she never seen anything like that. He caught fire, started burning, and started running, and started crying. That is how the spiritual power works. I told him, you cannot break Satan with Satan. Amen? You can only break him through the blood. And that blood is the blood of Jesus Christ. It is through the bloodline that he came down. And many of them are suffering the consequences of that evil man. And they sing song, you follow them to sing it. And they praise him, you follow them to praise it. You are proud of your heritage. You are proud of what you were. What was it? It is sinful. You have to sever that umbilical cord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That is one of the reasons. The iniquity factor. When the stronghold of sin has taken place, traveling sin goes from generation to generation. Then there is the attachment factor. People get attached emotionally or physically. Instead of repenting and confessing these things, they hold in awe the heritage. They call it the heritage. I always look at people who say, my heritage. My heritage. That's the going back generation. What did your heritage do? What did your generational grandfather, heritage, whatever, what did they do? These things are passed from generation by stories or by whatever means. I know a young girl who one time started saying things and started doing things, and then people gathered and said, how can she know about it? This was done 40, 50, 70 years before she was born. And then I didn't understand, but later on I understand. You know, the demon doesn't get buried with the dead person. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The demon that affected one person in that generation, when that person dies, it doesn't die with them. It transferred from person to person if you are open to it. So this young woman was having, if you doubt it, you know about the spirit of divination in the Bible, the one that followed Paul. What was he saying? What was she saying? She was saying the truth. She was talking about Paul, that they are men sent by God to preach the gospel of deliverance, to do this and that. What did Paul do that day? He rebuked that spirit. They were giving true testimony. But he knows where the spirit is coming. It is called the spirit of divination. So this young lady was divining and speaking things that she should not know about. And people were marveling. They made a special occasion out of it. It is time to rejoice because this is something we haven't seen. It is divination. Ah, may God help that young lady because I didn't know what she was going through then. Now, I say generational cause, when it transfers from generation to generation, it doesn't mean that it will affect everybody in that house. Let's say that there are 20 people in that next generation. You can decide to sever yourself. That's what Bible says. When I call to remember, can you go back to that place with Jeremiah 31, verse 30? The Bible was talking about in the latter end. Even though that generation has sin, go back to Jeremiah 31, 29, please. Even though it is passed from generation to generation, in those days, go to 31, 30. It says in 30, but everyone shall die for their own iniquity. You can break off the rank. You don't have to stay under that chain. There might be 20 in that family under that cost. But two or three decide to say, I'm not going to stay in it. I'm running to the blood of Jesus. That is where I'm going to pitch my tent. So in this, he said there is attachment factor. The attachment factor is very dangerous. It's emotionally and physically being attached to the things that your great-grandfather or whatever father and father generation has done. And you take pride in them. You are so much, you have become a slave and in bondage to their sin. A pride of ancestral and not publicly rebuking and refusing them. When they say about him, you rush to their defense. After all, it is your great-grandfather. No, you should be able to refuse them, deny them, and say it is wrong. There are villages, there are cities, there are people, households that I know who have to keep certain ordinances from time to time. One person approached me about it in this Phoenix. They have to keep it because they believe it's been ingrained in their family line that if they don't do this, they will be in trouble. And as long as they do it, they thought they have a positive result. And when they don't do it, somebody dies. When they don't do it, something happens. When they don't do it, something. So Now everybody in that family is under serious bondage. They have to do those negative things because they have become attached to these spiritual demonic influences. There is also the fear factor. I'm only going to name about four factors that I know that you can use, that the enemy can use to hold somebody attached to generational curse instead of generational blessing. The fear factor. Can we go to Hebrews chapter 2, verse 15? Quickly, please. Hebrews 2, 15. Hebrews 2, 15. And deliver them, everybody say with me, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. There are people who through all their lifetime are subject to bondage. They are fearful of these demonic activities. They have seen it manifest in the great-grandfather. They have seen it manifest in their father. They have seen it manifesting in themselves. And this woman was telling me what she has noticed. Until one day, a minister came and decided, without even the knowledge of what he was talking about as of then, spoke a word that gave her deliverance. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Amen. And God delivered them who say, and he delivered them who through fear of death. That is always at the core of these generational curses. Who through their lifetime, all the time of their 80, 90 years or whatever, are subject to bondage. We are no more under bondage. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Because Christ has redeemed us from the curse of sin. Christ has redeemed us from everything that the enemy has put down there that is against us. The ordinances. Every one of them that is written against you has been abolished by grace under Jesus Christ. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You just have to know how to sever this link. Even people who call themselves Christ Jesus. About 3-4 weeks ago, I received a message. Call it SOS message. I need help. I then called this person back and said what it is. And she was so terrified, and she's a believer. Don't look, the enemy can conjure and put up things so much that if you are not wise, you can become ensnared. And everything about her was going downhill. And she knew that this has happened before. And this has happened down the line, or the family line, or the generational line. And now she's experiencing it in her own life. Immediately, instead of going towards God and faith, she went towards the fear factor. Oh, it happened before. There's a name Americans use for it. You know, it's like things that occurs and reoccurs, and down the line it keeps occurring. And once it comes, what happens is that people become fearful, people become afraid. It's like deja vu, it's happening again. And immediately, her life was taken over by fear. Now, fear is one of the agents that the enemy uses to hold even Christians down. Fear. Fear of this. Fear of that. Fear of that. But the Bible says that, and God has delivered us who through fear of death we are subject to what? Bondage. It's a bondage. When fear is in your life, it becomes bondage. For those of us who came a little late, we are talking of generational curses. When it says in the Bible, the father eats sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. And God have said in his word, it shall not be so for you or for me again in Jesus' name. For it not to be so, there are certain things you have to deal with. We mentioned the factor of the iniquity factor, the stronghold that the enemy has seen that goes from generation to generation and is not broken. And we went on to the attachment factor. And then we are talking of the fear factor, the fear, the perpetual slavery that the enemy has put on people, and they are so afraid they cannot see beyond that fear to see that God has given us deliverance through Christ Jesus. But that is what God has done. You just have to believe it in Jesus' name. Amen. Then, lastly, there is the blame factor. And that is what is happening in this time among the Israelites, the blame factor. Under that blame factor is also unforgiveness. Go back to that Jeremiah 31, verse 29 to 30, please. Go back to it. The blame factor that people blame and blame and blame, and that's what is going on. And in those days, I shall say, the father have eaten sour grapes, and the children teach a certain age. Go to 30 again quickly. But every man shall die for their own iniquity. Every man that eateth the sour grape, his teeth shall be set on edge. Now, the blame factor is that this thing happened in the time of Jeremiah the prophet. For hundreds of years, God continued warning them. He warned kings after kings about iniquity that is endemic, transferred, walking or traveling sin that has gone from generation to generation. And at a point, God had it up to here. And he allowed a pagan king by name Nebuchadnezzar to come and take over and besiege the city of Jerusalem, besiege the cities of Israel, overcome them, and took them captive. Jehoiakim, Jeconiah, and Zedekiah are the three kings that were affected in those days. And when Nebuchadnezzar has defeated them, he took them captive to a strange land. And when they were in the strange land, over the course of 70 years that this is happening, people that were born that wasn't part of the original sin are feeling the effect of bondage. And they start to say, how come, for God's sake, how can this be right? How can this be fair? How can our fathers eat sour grape and our teeth are set on edge? That is a proverb in Israel. And God said, this proverb shall not be repeated again, that every man shall suffer for what? For his own iniquity, for his own sin, for his own failures. That gives me and you a possibility to break the chain. If I have continued to listen to the, I was rebuked, I was chastised for not being part of my great-grandfather's sin. I'm not kidding you. Because there was a dance group and stuff they do, and you have to be part of it as a family. There are certain things, ritual that is done, and you have to be part of it as a family. And I withdrew myself at an early stage. These things can come in different ways and can be a burden. Generational sin can affect, and I don't want you to quote and say for sure that this is all hereditary generational causes, can be in a form of sickness. Hereditary diseases. It can be in a form of poverty. It can be in some family, mother have divorced, daughter have divorced, grandmother have divorced. It can be abuse. Father is a drunkard and a destroyer, is somebody that, and they say it's just like his father. It's just like his grandfather. That's exactly what he did. He's an abuser. He's beating, he's killing, he's doing every kind of stuff. And that is passed down the generation. It can be an addiction. I've seen it in people. He say, yes, it happened in their great-grandfather, and it happened again, and it happened again, and down to this generation. It can be in form of people not making progress, perpetual poverty in some family. You take one, two steps forward, and you take one step backward in terms of progress. They don't seem to get anywhere. They practically live in the same apartment for 30 years. for 40 years, the same mother, same grandmother, the same thing. I've seen a family of 13 live in one small place. And the grandfather was there, the mother was there. Every one of them has been there. It becomes a generational curse that needs to be broken. It's endemic. It's part of what their gene, their DNA, spiritual DNA has stated. And until you sever the link, it is there. Some are suicide. Great-grandfather committed suicide or something like that, and it goes down the generation, down the line. Every generation, you see one or two or three people take their own life. Destructive ways. They say they are prone to destructive ways. I've heard that said. Now, Afaji, I know in the native language I'm speaking here, Ogo or something like that. It's a destructive way. They are always prone to destructive way. And it continues in the same generation. A vagabond. He goes, somebody in that generation, and then he continues down the generation, just the same pattern, the same thing. The reason, and I'm not saying that this applies in every circumstances. Please, don't quote me. Unless God revealed it to you, don't start saying, my wife, he brought generational curse to my family. Or my husband, he brought generation. Unless God revealed to you, and when he revealed, you have to deal with it in wisdom and in prayer by going to God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Don't start the blame factor. If you are not sure, you are not sure. Unless God reveal it. But when you see that this pattern has been going on from generation to generation, it is not just ordinary occurrence. There is a spiritual factor to it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And until that link is severed, don't allow it to extend beyond your generation. Sever it in Jesus' name. God has given you power to cut it off. There is power in the name of Jesus. The power that lives in you and me is such that those things are nothing. When I told this young lady that the power that is in you is nothing compared to what is being ordained, predestinated, written, as he's saying, God can change it for you in Jesus' name. Don't be afraid of those things. It's when you don't know who you are in Christ Jesus. But if you know who you are standing, the shoulder you are standing on, if you know who is carrying you, if you know the power that is behind you, the force that is behind you, those things are mockery. Christ has conquered them through the blood in the name of Jesus. It is passed down by the bloodline, and by blood it has been abolished in Jesus' mighty name. Move your destiny, I say, to the winning side. Your destiny does not have to stay under that shadow. And remember what I said at the beginning of the message? I said that when you break the chain, the curse of generational sin, you will now set a new foundation for generational blessings. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because that's what the word of God have said. Break that chain. Shatter those fetters. Usher in a generational blessing for your children. It may have affected your own very life because you didn't know it very well, like it affected mine in some ways. And I'm starting to learn to say no to some of those things. And I believe God is doing great work and will restore completely. You cannot allow it to go beyond your generation in Jesus' mighty name. You have to set a new tone and say, I am a choosing generation. You are a choosing generation that is born to break that curse, whatever it is. We are children of God, sons of God. Don't go into the blame factor like I was telling some of them. Forgive your mother. Forgive your great-grandmother. Forgive your great-grandfather. Don't start blaming them like the children of Israel were blamed. But they still continue in the iniquity, the traveling sin, the stronghold. They still continue in it and they start saying, well, how can our father have done all this and our teeth is set on edge? Because the iniquity has transferred from one generation to the other. The chain was only broken when people like Daniel and others started to pray and seek the face of God and confess their sin and the sin of the whole people.
and say, our fathers have done evil. Our fathers have transgressed against the word of God. Our father has neglected you, O Lord. But have mercy, because mercy trumps over sin and judgment, and that is the ordination of God. Mercy of God is held up here, and it trumps every other thing. So if you find yourself in this, do not be afraid. Like we said, Christ has broken every fetters and have set us free. I want us to pray this morning. Sincerely, I want us to pray for everybody that is here. Maybe it's not you, maybe it's something but somebody else. I want you to stand on your feet, please. And I'm going to make this quote. And I said, any contract, amen? I said, any commitment, any ordination undertaken on your behalf, contrary to God's word, is nullified in Jesus' mighty name. For by the law, such measures is void and is prohibited if contrary to the law of liberty that we have in Christ Jesus. Therefore, if without your knowledge, like me, I didn't ask my great-grandfather to go and initiate me into those things. I didn't even know when the initiation was done. I wasn't part of it. I didn't ascribe to it. But I was linked to his sin, to his iniquity. And it was going to affect my life. One of the hereditary things that is in my family was drinking. I wasn't even a Christian. I saw my one of my uncles so drunk and did something stupid, I decided I'm not going to drink. I start to sever myself from those things. As I say, some family is barrenness. Some family is poverty. Some family is hereditary sickness, generational causes that pass down from line to line. Some family is just the children doesn't get anywhere. They don't know it. It just controls the demons that's going from generation to generation. By the anointing, Jesus breaks every yoke. I want you to raise your hand and start praying, everybody. Somebody come on the piano. I want us to pray right now. Somebody start to pray. Raise your voice and start to pray. That whatever in my family, whatever in my wife or my husband's family, whatever that has been done and not by me and not by anything that I'm connected with, even by commission or by omission or commission, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah. And if you want us to pray with you, I want you to step forward quickly. In the name of Jesus, it shall not be so in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. There is a sister that was giving a testimony this morning. And she was saying about a pastor come and showed her something. What I also didn't tell her is that I saw more than that. But that God showed me is a break for you, sister. I also told her that I didn't tell her that I saw more than that in that dream or vision, but the little I told her spurred a change of faith in her, and she later came on to testify to me. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Sister, God has heard you in Jesus' name. I want you to stay forward for me to pray for you the second time. Hallelujah. Everybody start to pray in the mighty name of Jesus. Start to pray in the 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 name of Jesus. That by the anointing, the yoke is broken in my family. By the anointing, every ordination, every contract the enemy has taken against my family is broken in the mighty name of Jesus. If there is anything that the enemy has endured in you, if there's anything that the enemy has put in that family, it will no more progress in the mighty name of Jesus. Because Christ has broken every yoke in Jesus' mighty name. I want you to raise your voice and pray. This is now a prayer I want you to pray regarding to everything about you, even though you might not know it, to the third generation, to the fourth generation, to the second generation, and now to your current generation. Start to pray that Jesus Christ will give you grace, we give you power, we give you the wherewithal to overcome in the name of Jesus. Lord, you are God Almighty. Every one of us that is here, Father, we are linked to someone. We are linked to Adam and Eve. And down the line, Jehovah God, we make errors, we make mistakes. But Jesus Christ, our kinsman redeemer, he came and delivered us from the curse of sin. And today we are saved in Jesus' name. And today we are delivered in the name of Jesus. Father, we are praying by the name of Jesus. Is there any link that we don't know about? Is there anything that we are part of? Is there anything that is part of us? Father, let it be known today that we are denying, we are refusing, we are disconnected. You are missing the around. Every hindrance in our life, everything that holds on, it is losing in Jesus' name. It is losing in the name of Jesus. Let the victory of God be upon you, and let the glory of God be upon you. From henceforth, your generation is blessed in the mighty name of Jesus. Any issue from your body, anything from your body, is blessed in the name of Jesus. Glory be to God. Mighty name. Lord, you are God. Show forth your power, Lord, in our life. Show forth your grace, even in the mighty name of God. Satan, we bind you. You have no hand of worship in our welfare. You have no hand of worship in anything that pertains to us, because Christ has done it. In Jesus' precious name.
Not anything but God's instrument. We are not anything but God's instrument. And even many times we fail in our duty. I fail in that. I'm not going to call your name, but you know yourself. A young lady. A lady here. You need to come to the front and let's pray. Sometimes when it's a good news, I approach people and tell them. But when it is not, I don't say much. I pray and move on. As a young lady among all that needs to step out in the front, let's pray with you. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Continue singing, please, everybody. And any other person that needs prayer, I want you to come forward just for us to pray. Go on and continue singing, praise team. We'll give you a minute or two for you to come.